Blog Talk Radio.
Goodbye to all your heartaches. Love blooms
Hello, world. Happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Liu Wildub and Gray Eyes Smith. This show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from around the world. So feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. And tonight's show is based on the contest that Liu Wildub and myself ran. It was a spring quote, and it says, spring's first heartbeat honors winter's last breath, and some open poetry as well. So that said, that is tonight's show, and I appreciate you all listening in. I'm going to check the studio real quick here and see if we have any callers. Oh, we do. Hello, Liu Wildub. How are you?
Hey, Gray. How you doing? Hey, Pam. I don't know who else is on.
Yeah, it's just us two at the moment, but Bill and Pam are in the group. But,
okay.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Okay, so I'm going to grab the first poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, when you see this, Lou. Oh, there we go. You should have it by now.
Okay. Okay. Nature's Hymn Book by Diane D. Sing to us then from Nature's Hymn Book. Magpie melodies, sandpiper symphonies, where squirrels dance, how the birds sing, and brooks babble harmonious wind song. Of shaggy tree branches, fiddling the harp, the wind's nodding fingers, twiddling the lute, and rows of ash trees swaying to and fro, moving their ball-gowned hips to the music. The rain pours in rumbles and a rat-a-tat thumps onto the earth's birch-packed drum shell like that show-stopping magnificent solo in the air tonight by drummer Phil Collins, dancing dandelions stand stem strong amid weeds that waltz in the sun's hallway, casting rhythmic shadows on lyrical waves that dance the Nissan Dorma on the lake. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read. Fantastic poem. You know, I really like the personification of the season and all that it brings. Rains pour in rumbles and rat-a-thumps onto the earth's birch-packed drum shell, like that show-stopping magnificent solo in the air tonight by drummer Phil Collins. Yeah, just a magnificent piece. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I thought it was lovely. It was beautiful. I loved the nature's songbirds and all the different, even the different types of trees, because it matters, because different trees are different shapes and different colors. And I thought it was gorgeous.
That was a great comment, Lee. Thank you. So I'm just going to finish texting into the group here, and I'll get the next one loaded. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. This is called The Before Time by Jack Tomkovic. Ukrainian children hunger to go back to the before the guns and tanks, planes and bombs, that no longer lives, ripped from them like sheets torn. In the wind of war, rivers wretched from their banks, now flowing in broken beds. Ground bursts and shifts, artillery earthquakes crushing, churches, mosques, Red Cross shelters, babies bleeding, umbilical cords still attached. How do we tell them? They hunger to go back. It breaks every bone. And his author notes, he's got the quote from the song. War. Good God. All. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Say it again. Yeah. You know, it's a painful subject. You know, you can imagine these children having the earth collapse around them by bombs and watching their church and mosques being leveled to the ground. and planes and tanks. Just a haunting scenario. Beautifully penned, right, though. Excellent job. What did you think, Lee?
Well, no, I just was listening to the news earlier today. They were talking about that this family was trying to get away, and the Russian soldiers started shooting at them. You know, they were getting away. They were trying to get away, you know, to leave, you know, all the bombing and everything was happening. And they just shot him in this young teenager, or I don't know if it's a young boy or young girl, but they got shot in the face. You know, they're bombing hospitals, you know, they mark the areas where they say hospitals, babies and stuff, and they don't care. They don't care about anybody who's getting killed. Mothers, children, babies, pregnant, grandfathers, grandmothers. You know, they just don't care.
Yeah, that's a very tragic
scene.
It's
horrifying. It's horrifying because, you know, not only are the adults traumatized, but so are these children.
Yeah, absolutely. Terrible tragedy, for sure. Lou, you're up next to read, please.
Okay. Let me refresh, because it does not do this on my computer, but it does it on my phone. Okay. This was written by Incubus. It's titled Lip Service. The sheen of licked lipstick. Sultry hints that her liquid, laminated, luscious lips taste as sweet as they look to voyeurist eyes. Fingers tentatively tracing, perfectly painted pout, teasing a smile that begs to be shared, worn upon the lips of its recipient. As in the touch of salacious, seductive silence, all answers are received to quintessential questions asked, not with mouths, but by entreating, inquiring eyes. There within the kiss lay lessons lovingly learned that no teacher taught, nor book brokered, for only here in her arms can a heart attain the heights of heaven without wings. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read, Lee. And, you know, it was a touching poem about the power of a kiss and all that, you know, you live and learn inside of that kiss. It was a seductive rite to build with passion and beauty. I thought it was wonderful. And what did you think, Lee?
You know, to be sultry doesn't always mean to be sexual or sensual. Sometimes it is just that person that you're attracted to the shapes of their lips and that you're looking at, and then to see that their eyes want you, that you learn that there's where you want to fall in those arms that, you know, crave you. It's a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Nicely said, Leah. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem. And this is by S. Sharp, and he has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. Here we go. Here we go.
The Kazakh eagle hunters. The horse trots amidst the elaborate pageantry, celebration of custom. Blonde mane blowing against muscled brown frame. Hunter steed, hunter and eagle approach. The Mongolian eagle hunter braves the cold fall winds, dressed in ornate coats, blends of color, headdress, furs of the fox and the wolves his eagle has killed. In anticipation, crowd murmurs, golden eagles center stage, still hooded but eagerly bouncing upon the raptor glove, awaiting its cue. Crowd is hushed, hood removed, golden eagle aloft soars in search of its prey, Brilliant sun-bleached cliffs along the Altai Mountains provide the vista for the Golden Eagle Festival. Winds spread 4 feet to each side. A powerful push pulls the eagle's frame up high. The hunt is on. Wind whispers through feathers as the gallant bird climbs and climbs to where only blue sky is her background. Beauty and grace then floats, wings spread, gliding. Suddenly she dives, twists into the shadows of the mountains along the beauty of the cliffs, jumping off. Hearts race, observers silenced as she disappears into the grove. 100 yards off where the openness ends, crowd stilled, eagle gone, but for a moment. Reappearing, she soars above the trees, prey secured in her talons. She screeches, heard across the hunting grounds. Triumph flies and lands at the foot of the hunter.
Wow, that was an epic storyline and a fantastic soundtrack.
Excellent.
You know, it's so descriptive and engaging. It pulls you through to the end of this powerful scene where the eagle finally has its prey and brings it to the foot of the hunter. Just a fantastic write. What did you think, Leah?
Well, I really enjoyed the way that he read this because it just like if you were listening to somebody at a, you know, like if you went camping and you were listening to this story, he's so animated. And then all the imagery and all the description and details just brings it to life so that in your mind's eye, you have no issue seeing this Kazakh eagle hunter. You know, I really loved how, you know, he talked about the beauty of the horse at the beginning and the Mongolian rider. And I just thought it was, and then his eagle, and it was just gorgeously read as it was gorgeously penned.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. That was a great comment. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. Here we go. And this is called My Angelic Dream.
Gray?
Yeah.
Did you see if he gave permission? Some didn't.
No, he didn't. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so this is called Lavender Breezes by Kay. And I'll post it to the group.
Missed Laurent. Where are you?
Yeah, I missed Lawrence because he was open poetry.
Okay, well, the Vizzo Bevy were also open poetry. They weren't read last week. Okay, all right.
I see.
So you're going into the contest reading now? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. So do you want me to leave that for after?
Well, we'll leave Lawrence and Poetic for open poetry, and you can go ahead and go into the contest poetry. Just to let people know, this contest was for spring, and it was a spring quote. Where is my, let's see. The spring quote is, spring's first heartbeat honors winter's last breath, by Angie Willen Crosby. Okay, Gray, let's go.
Okay, so can I read the one that I put up by Kay?
Yes, it says reader.
Okay. All right, delicate whispers of lavender breezes. The delicate whisper of lavender breezes sing a tune of serenity, her fragrance smelling as sweet as baby's breath. Wisping beauty speaks only of love, not hate. Breath and her beauty soak up her calm presence that will soothe your weary soul. For her sunshine beauty is only here to uplift and inspire in her forgiving nature that speaks truth. That was a powerful brevity filled with emotions and a passion that, you know, you can feel in the right. Breathe in her beauty, soak up her calm presence that will soothe your weary soul. I mean, lavender does have that soothing effect, and I thought she captured mm-hmm. that beautifully. What did you think, Leah?
Yeah, lavender is used for natural medicine, for calming the nerves, for so many different beautiful things. But when you smell it in spring, you know, after a cold, hard winter, it's absolutely beautiful. And it does calm the soul, especially after a long, weary weekend. And, you know, the sunshine also has been found to help with mood swings and depression. So I thought this was beautifully penned.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And we'll put that up. And this is called Seed by Chinarchy. And he has a recording, so I'll play that.
And you left us, hanging off candle cliffs, relishing the barren winter, a last chapter exquisitely hushed, smothering flame. Picking the harvest, yes, you have nourished us, with lingering laughter, that old pumpkin car with fiddler on the roof hat. It was the thousands of stories, sitting by bedside lockets, forgotten picture frames, old tainted war scars, tattoos, drunken barroom scuffles, which nobody remembered what the fight was about. Came the winter suddenly, never knew that you could actually grow old, because every morning you reminded us about life, shuffling through that old fucking shed. Wisdom worn, unsettled sleeves, dead box, driftwood treasures, stones, spoons, five children, five wandering meteors, loosely locked in that tiny universe, with your mouth mumbling into the sheets of newspapers, roof beam rumblings of dumb prayers. And you touched sprouting spring, sultry seeds of tiny embers, carrying your voice. And we grew opening tablets of dovetail hinges, lifting frontier horizon upon our shoulders, whispering freedom, billowing with suspended silhouettes.
Wow, that was a wonderful read. But in his author's notes, he says, in memory of my father, becoming seeds of his voice. You know, it's amazing what nature provides us to speak forward after we're gone. And I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful pen on the subject. Wonderful, right? Excellent read as well. What did you think, Lee?
Well, so many things of nature remind me of my mother, my aunt, because they have always had green thumbs and plant, and, you know, they would teach us how to take care of plants and trees. And, you know, and I was just looking at the memories of his father. You take him with us. You know, you remember the thousand stories that they told him, you know, the old photographs, bring back memories. And you never really think about your parents getting old, but they do. And then, you know, I could just see him, you know, he said he was just shuffling through the shed, you know, and that's how I see my mother, always tending her garden and working her garden. And then, you know, he says that there was five children in their family with his father, and, you know, they all had their own different beat of the drums. And, you know, and of course I remember my parents sitting there reading the newspapers in the morning. And, you know, and they did. They, you know, they sprouted us, and off we go and try to do the best we can. You know, and those silhouettes always follow us, those memories of what you did with your children.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. And okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. Maybe I'll wait. She might call. So I'm going to grab this poem by Rhonda.
Hey, Pam, it's a good thing we have our own keys, isn't it?
I know, right?
Hi, Phil.
Yeah, you know.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Lou. Hi, Grace. Hi, Phil.
Hi, guys.
Hello,
we
ladies.
We got a lot of company.
What's that,
absolutely,
honey?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, we could. Welcome, welcome.
Okay,
we'll
have a repeat. We'll get here. Don't you worry. Hey, we got another call. It looks like...
Did you guys get to hear the poem from Chinowski?
I did not. I got to see part of it, and that was it, because then I got dropped, and I had to call back. So sad.
Oh, that's
so sad.
Okay. How about, yeah, I just want to ask, because I don't want to pass somebody up. How about you, Pam?
I unfortunately did not either, so sorry about that.
Okay. All right. Sawa. Welcome, welcome.
Yep, we got Sawa.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Salwa.
Hi, Salwa.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh, wait, we got another one. I think we got Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
Hello.
How are
you?
Hi,
Bobby.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Bobby.
Welcome to the party.
Thank you. Thank you. I just ejected my dinner guest, so now I'm free.
Very cool. Well, Pam, would you mind reading the next poem for me, please?
I would be happy to. All right. This is, let me get to it, A Warm Embrace by Rhonda Yazri. And it goes like this. A supreme authority of ecstasy's passion, planted in mine by the hands of nature, swallowed in nature's wonders, sunk in the work of nature's paintbrush. The delicate touch of the warmest shade of a groove of cypress trees that harmoniously balanced. Relaxed, elegant atmosphere adds to the feeling of spirituality. The melodious hushes chant lured sensations, activating pathways to forge indestructible connections. The whisper of the sweetest companion bestowing charm thrill to change the mood. A veil of softness of lavender's perfumes suggesting dreamy imaginations. The energy of serenity lies dormant in all things, a divine desire waiting to be awakened. And poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is a deep poem filled with, a beautiful sensuality to it that is just under the surface. And I thought it was a beautiful pen full of fantastic imagery and emotions. What did you think, Lee?
I thought she had beautiful imagery here in her couplets. Pam, you did a gorgeous job in reading this. It's kind of hard to pick which couplet I like the most because I love all of them. But one of the ones that I, the two that I love was Swallowed in Nature's Wonders, Sunk in the Works of Nature's Paintbrush, The Delicate Touch of the Warmest Shade, A Grove of Cypress Trees, that harmoniously balanced, and I just thought that was just beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lydia. Okay, so what did you think?
Oh, I love being a nature lover. I love this poem. Just she had a way of Rhonda to paint nature with waking up all the sensation, the warmth, like, incredibly. You can feel it, you can smell it. It's just very delicate. I really enjoyed it. I had to read it a little bit late. I was on the wrong page. But I had to read it one more time, but that's my first impression. I really love it. So charming and so serene feeling that it gives you.
Well,
and great
to meet
you, Stan.
Thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what did you think?
There's a reverence to this poem for nature. The descriptions are almost reverential. It's almost like a prayer to nature It's so beautifully worded and so delicate, like Selwa said. It shows a great deal of respect and love for nature, and it's beautifully done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Phil, what did you think?
Well, I liked the piece. I really did. I liked that it was done in couplets. I think that it added something to it. And, you know, there's wonderful lines throughout here. I thought the imagery was wonderful. So I have to say, great job, Rhonda. Really nice. Really nice.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautifully written. I like how it has a delicate and romantic touch to it, and it reminds us of how life in springtime is so filled with hope and a sense of wonder. So absolutely beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Okay, Sawa, would you mind reading the next one for me, please?
Of course. Let me just, sorry, I was trying to comment. Let me go to the page. Okay. By Spring Protectors by Barbara G. Perspectives. White caps flash glint of gold as winter sun slanted rays. Park alone swells like sequins embossed into metallic sea. In turn, the sky tays on glow, silver polished to bright patina, and cast a warmer gilded tone to flake the grip of winter's hand. Winter branches bear no leaves, a tingle with the pulse beneath, coarse bark that guards their limbs. From winter's ever-biting freeze, the ground lies frozen within a pulp, while bulbs and roots below compose themselves for spring still, and set the scene for shoots to grow. Spring breaks and winter yields her hold, letting life break forth and buds unfold. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Sawa. And this is a lovely poem. You know, it's filled with the subtle spirituality of nature that seems to be alive in these words as the seasons progress from one into another. I thought it was just a beautiful painting of a surreal scene of nature. What did you think, Lee?
You know, what I loved was how she started off this poem. You know, it's spring prospects, but that first stanza just starts to open up the beauty of nature, where she says, white caps flash glints of gold on a winter's sun slated rays. So she's talking about wintertime. And then she goes, sparkle on swells like sequins embossed into a metallic sea. You know, I thought that she beautifully caught that, because you do get mesmerized by the waters and seas and the glinting of the sun that looks like sequins. And then on that gray bed, it's just absolutely beautiful. And then she goes on to more winter and spring things, but I'm going to let somebody else comment.
Okay, thank you. Pam, what did you think?
I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I love the way that it captures that edge of spring right next to winter, especially in that third stanza, the third stanza. Winter branches bear no leaves, but tingle with a pulse beneath. It reminds that beneath that coldness of winter, there is life just pushing to get out, and beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, this is really beautiful. The how she showed the colors and the choice of words to show the colors is incredible, like so bright. And from the beginning, white caps flash glints of gold as winter sun slanted rays sparkle of swells. You see the change from the winter and getting ready like to so cold, and then spring break and winter yields her hold, letting life break forth. saw the difference so gently. The ground lies frozen with the pearl, while bulbs and roots below, see the changes happening at the same time, where winter saying their goodbye. The shoots grow. It's beautifully done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bella. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed the visual imagery. This is a beautifully painted word painting. I also gravitated toward the stanza, winter branches bear no leaves but tingle for the pulse beneath. Coarse bark that guards their limbs from winter's ever-biting freeze. And then it reminds you the ground lies frozen within a pall. White bulbs and roots below compose themselves for spring thaw and sets the scene for shoots to grow. And that visual imagery, that it just reminds you that while everything looks dead and dormant, that nature itself is readying for the seasonal change. And it's beautifully expressed.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby. Oh, actually, Phil, would you like to comment?
Who am I?
Phil.
I thought this was beautifully written. Wonderful imagery and perfectly rhymed. Yeah, I wanted to say it was a sonnet, but I'm not sure. I couldn't identify. And I'm not the queen of form, so I admit that freely. The four quatrains and the couplet. It was 18 lines, and I'm like, 18 lines? So I couldn't get confirmation on that, but it was very well done. And I really enjoyed it very much. And I thought it was an excellent change of season piece as well. Absolutely.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bobby, I have your poem up next, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, no, certainly not. Okay. There we go. I tend to sometimes rattle on about nature. So I tend to, and sometimes, confine myself to very structured formats to keep my thoughts in focus and very brief. So I did that with this one, Frost and Flowers. Snow-capped mountains rise, fill the cerulean sky, clinging to winter. Majestic peaks cloaked, dressed in solemn cerement, alabaster white. Verdant valleys don flowery spring attire, displays festive hues, spring's vernal raiment, adorned in floral splendor, wears the season's change. Cold mountain lake shines, nature's silvery mirror reflects spring's trappings. Looking glass stillness shows nature's wardrobe changes above and below. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Bobby. And an excellent poem. You know, it's so visceral and image-filled that it really captures your heart and paints this beautiful spring-like picture through the looking glass. I thought it was just a wonderful poem. What did you think, Lee?
I thought the descriptions were absolutely beautiful in each stanza. It is so hard to pick your favorite, but this one right here where Bobby wrote, Vernon Valley dawns, flowers, spring attire, displays festive hues. Right there, I just remembered that Disney movie where I could see the flowers dancing and all their vibrant and beautiful colors. And, of course, you hear the birds singing and everything. And I just fell in love with that haiku, Bobby. Each stanza can stand on its own in its own beauty of nature. Beautiful read, beautiful poetry, Bobby.
Great comment, thank you. And Pam, what did you say?
A wonderful read there, Bobby. I thought this was an absolutely beautiful write. I like the way you centered it. I liked the alliteration in verdant valleys. And I have to say, I know it's a small detail, but cerulean is one of my favorite words for the color blue. And I think that's in part on a technical level because it's got the soft S sound and the soft kind of L sound, which, you know, and it's little details like that that I think can make a difference in a poem. And I also really particularly like Looking Glass Stillness Shows Nature's Wardrobe Changes, a beautiful way to reflect on the stillness of nature and also the changes. Beautifully written and very well done. And Gray, before you move on, I did want to mention that you do have Frank in the room now.
Okay, hey. Thank you.
Yep.
Welcome, Frank.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome, Frank.
Hello there, my friends.
Hi.
Buenas
tardes. Okay,
hello.
Hello there, Sawa.
Sawa, what did you think of the poem? Sawa? Hello, Sawa.
Cricket's tripping.
She dropped, Greg.
Oh,
her
okay.
phone might have dropped.
Okay.
I think,
Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, she's back.
Okay.
And
I think
it's
my poem.
I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I got dropped, sorry. This is really amazing. I love how you did it differently. You show the form and also how you took the mountain to show the beauty of nature. It's really beautiful. You capture the rise, the blue sky, as Sam said, the clinging of the winter. So majestic the mountains are and the white snow. Just beautiful. You brought really the prompt to life with such beautiful, and haiku, my goodness, I can never write haiku. And not only haiku chain. Incredible. Really well done. Beautiful.
Très bien.
And great read. Très bien, oui.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I thought, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. If I break up, just tell me. I thought the poem was an excellent write. I'm not an expert on haikus, but I thought a little I know of them. I thought you did a fantastic job just brushing up the descriptive nature of this poem is what drew me in. You know, the metaphors, the imagery was superb. And I thought you just did a fantastic job there with the landscape, just giving it life there through your own brush, I would say.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Bill, would you like to say anything about Bobby's poem?
Oh, I thought it was a wonderful haiku chain. And again, you know, another great change of season piece. Lovely imagery. You know, nicely done, Bobby. And
thank
just
you,
in case, I did pick up Naomi. So,
so
you know.
Yay!
Welcome to the show, Naomi.
Hello,
my gracious. Welcome to the show, Naomi.
There seems to be a gang on.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. I have to go get more chips.
Yes, party, my gracious. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Salva, Frank, Bobby, Phil, Pam, Gray, Luyu. Did I miss anybody?
Well,
thank you for calling me.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, Frank, you're up next.
Hold on. I'm having troubles hearing you.
Yeah, if you could read, please.
Yeah, it's just being, unfortunately, the phone is tied up on. You might want to have watching here and this one right now. My phone is just not operating at the speed it should be.
Okay.
I do apologize.
Naomi, would you mind reading?
Okay. Misty morning dew, sun creates mist. Inability to see through, sun burns off. Two. See beautiful sky with charcoal clouds, yearning for start of spring. I request a reader. Oh.
Oh God.
Oh my goodness.
You know, am misty morning dew, I an ability to see through. I didn't know quite how to read that one.
Well, I just thought that was so stunning because I've never heard anybody put such a romantic tone to the phrase, I request a reader.
That's funny. Wonderful,
Naomi. I read that till after.
Well, you did a wonderful read of it, Naomi. And you know, the poem is beautifully painted in a brevity. You can picture all this as he writes it. The sun burning off the mist to reveal beautiful sky with charcoal clouds as he's yearning for the start of spring. Beautiful poem. What did you think, Lee?
Well, what I loved about this was, Naomi, you cracked me up. You did such a beautiful job in reading this spring acrostic, you know, and he just wrote it with, it's just lovely. He captured so many different images, and, you know, I really like, you know, where he was talking about the sun burning off to see the beautiful sky with charcoal clouds. I just thought that was gorgeous.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful acrostic, and I like that he did it a little different. Rather than, you know, doing an acrostic of the word spring, he chose to do an element of spring, that oftentimes misty weather that we get. And I liked this all the way through, but my favorite line was, to see beautiful sky with charcoal clouds. Just a lovely acrostic and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Salwa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, thank you again, Naomi, for the laughter. It was really great. Probably I would have done the same thing, honestly. It's not your fault. As for the poem, I really loved how he started with the misty morning dew, sun creates mist, and then you take us slowly from the ability not to see through to burn, sun burns off, and then finally you see this beautiful sky, charcoals, make us really yearn for spring. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
It's a lovely brevity. I also like that rather than trying to do an acrostic of the word spring, an element of it was picked. My favorite line was, I request a reader.
Yeah.
There was such romance. There was such romance in the voice.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. And Phil, what did you think? Hello, Miss Phil. Oh, she must have stepped away. And she was next to read. Okay, I'll give this a read.
Is that bird so beautiful? Is that bird? Or is it my imagination? Beautiful. I feel like I'm in a garden.
You're in Luyu's Garden of Enlightenment.
Oh, it's true. With bird thinking.
Okay, so this is by Kai Bob, and it's called Springtime Trickles. I walk this path in season, melting down past stubbled stems of crystal standing, tall, with honkers flying south, wind crossing town. Who winds this earthen watch of feathered call, when earth turns eyes, when firstborn petals sigh, where yellow dances, seas of greens, gown ball. Green meadow whispers blue blush the sky, in music racing down her rippling spring, with billowed, colored fluters, flutters, born to fly. I skip a stone to circle, spinning ring, for life returning love that poets crave, as wonder walks through every living thing, wakes through every living thing. So sing to your spring, sing your springtime prickles, splashing wave, and bury skin in sunshine, come to save. End poem. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing about the birth of spring and the delight that it brings with the yellows and the ground ball. I thought it was a beautiful poem. What did you think, Linda? Hello, Leah?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm muted because my birds are singing. You know, I really like how she took this lighthearted, where she talks about springtime tickles. I like that stanza you read, but I also like the one underneath it where she says, green meadows whisper blue to blush the sky. I thought that was lovely. And the music racing down her rippling spring with billowed, colored flutters born to fly. You could just see everything opening up and coming to life and blooming, not only the insects, but also the flowers and the trees. Beautiful poem.
Well, so thank you, Lee. And Pam, what are you doing? I mean, sorry, what are you thinking?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. And I do think Louie's birds are just absolutely delightfully cheerful. It's mm-hmm. fun to hear them talk.
But I
really like this all the way through. I really like how there's that kind of personification and imagery in the when earth turns eyes and firstborn petaled sigh, where yellow dances seas of green gown ball. You just picture Mother Nature dressed up for the ball like a princess. And I also really like the part that says, I skip a stone to circle spinning rings. You know, there's something that just brings you back to a time of childhood, a time of innocence, or just even as an adult, just relaxing and skipping the stones across the water. That's kind of the kind of imagery that makes me smile. Beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Salwa, what did you think?
Oh, another really amazing one. Great read. It just reminds me of my walks. When you walk in nature and you see all this beauty from green, the birds singing, squirrels, just really enjoy every minute of it. And this, so sing your springtime trickers, splashing wave and bare your skin. Amazing. Absolutely. Just enjoy every moment of beauty of nature that we're surrounded by. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Salwa. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I like the asymmetrical symmetry of the rhyming pattern. We've read A, B, A, B, C, B. It's interesting the way they've done it. It gives it an unusual rhythm. But it's interesting to listen to. And the visual imagery is so beautifully expressed. Green meadow whispers blue to blush the sky in music, racing down her rippling spring with billowed colored flutters born to fly. Beautiful, beautifully written, wonderfully expressed. It gives you a very joyous feeling.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Are you with us, Frank?
Yes, I'm here. I do apologize. I guess I was dropped there. Must be issues there with my phone. Nothing, of course, on your part. I did the poem. I have to agree with Bobby there. Yeah, the rhyming scheme was impeccable here. But the whole thing that drew me into this poem here was the absolute beauty of the imagery. You know, I always love spring, and I love all seasons, but spring is my favorite. And I just like the way the poet or the poetess, I'm not certain if it's a male or female, just incorporated that and personified the aspect of spring here, you know, with memories as well. So I thought it was a beautiful ride, beautiful.
Thank you, Frank. And Phil, are you with us? No. Okay. So I've got the next poem here. I'll post this up. And if you would mind when you see it, please leave.
Okay. Let me refresh. I also have issues with my phone. By Malibu?
Yes.
Spring's Air by Malibu. I once knew love and happiness. A daffodil held my pride. Yet I looked away like a sparrow for a cloud that had caught my eye. Nothing else to me had mattered until it slowly drifted away. And when I returned to her meadow, my beautiful flower had slipped away. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Lou. And it's a bit of a heart-wrenching poem, you know. He looked away to the sky at a cloud that had caught his eye. And, you know, when he returned to her meadow, the beautiful flower had slipped away. Beautiful yet tragic. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree with you. There is a beauty in this and a tragedy. I like that he used nature, such as the daffodil and the sparrow and the cloud, as an extended metaphor to tell us, remind us that oftentimes we lose what is important when we're keeping our eyes on what we think is the bigger and grander prize. So beautifully written and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with everyone. It's a beautiful read, but so sad from the beginning. I once knew love and happiness, or that it held my pride, yet I look away. You could feel the sorrow, so sorrowful and melancholic, yet it's just so beautifully expressed.
Well said, thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
It does have a melancholy to it, and it is definitely using the spring as the extended extended metaphor, as Pam mentioned. The author is talking about having a love and not being attentive to it, and then all of a sudden realizing that what he had cherished had gone away. My beautiful, when I returned to her meadow, my beautiful flower had slipped away. I've never seen a verse using a seasonal change as a metaphor for love, and I actually think it's quite lovely and quite delicate.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I actually believe that this was just it's a brevity. This is really a short poem. But there's so much said in this poem that makes this poem just an exceptional write. You know, when I think about the reference there to the daffodil and to the sparrow, to the meadow, and of course there is a sense of yearning. There is that aspect of love, but there's also that sadness there, the gloom. But I like the way that the spring can really be that thing that inspires, you know, whether it's a good moment or a bad moment. You know, I think that he did a wonderful job here in such few words.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I just echo everybody. It's really beautiful. It has a melancholy, but it's so... so well expressed, and so just such a beautiful, beautiful piece. So, bravo, Matthew.
Thank you. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, mm-hmm. Pam, I've got the next write up if you wouldn't mind, please. Unless Phil's here.
All right. No, I think Phil's, in the back of the airplane, you know, checking on the engines, making sure we're not all falling.
She could all bring drinks there.
There you go.
You know,
I'd like to
make a comment on that poem, Gray, before you move on.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a social butterfly, you don't take time to notice the intricate beauty of a flower. You get distracted by everything, you know, and it says just like a sparrow, that cloud that caught his eye, you know, he had to go fly off to see it and left that one bloom behind. And when he came back, she was no longer holding that pride that she held for that sparrow or the butterfly or whatever it was. She had left. So, you know, this is, you know, something that we all need to think of. When you don't pay attention to those that love you, eventually they leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. Okay, Pam, would you mind reading the next one, please? It's by Passion Prompt.
I'd be happy to. Brush up forever my passion's promise. And it goes like this. Be still. Listen to my bleeding heart. Ink pours from my soul onto my sleeve, and scriptures of love leaves imprint. An artist at work, a lover, I'm breathless, engulfed I am by such exquisite taste. Dark raven hair, ruby lips and hips. Oh, those hips. Shh, hush, listen. Hear that? No? Come closer. Let me show you as heartbeats dance off my tongue against yours feverishly as fingertips grip tight those hips and flames explode, the brush of forever caressing the insides of your mouth, readying to stir the deepest emotions within you. This artist ready to tend to their butterfly spreading wings to watch you fly. Hush. Please remain silent and enjoy. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And that's a delicate, you know, descriptive, slightly seductive write filled with passion and desire. The brush of forever caressing the insides of your mouth, readying to stir the deepest emotions within you. This artist ready to tend their butterfly, spreading wings to watch you fly. Just a very beautiful and romantic, right? What did you think, Leah?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, to me, this was very romantic. It was very sensual. And, you know, it is, you know, this I really loved, how she started it off. Be still. Listen to my bleeding heart. Ink pours from my soul onto my sleeve. Scriptures of love leaves imprint. You know, to me, a poet is an artist of words, of imagery, of metaphors, of descriptions. And, you know, they not only do they imprint on us that are reading them, but especially if we're attached to that poet, how it imprints on our heart and mind. Beautiful poem, beautiful read.
Well said. Thank you, Leah. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, she picked this end that I really like too. Very romantic, passionate, absolutely beautiful. Especially the opening really got me. Amazing. The whole poem is amazing, but the opening is just incredibly beautiful.
Thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree. The opening is quite captivating. This whole poem has a very dreamy, fanciful, almost mysterious quality to it. Very romantic and passionate, but also a very subtle in its references. I think it's a very lovely piece.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm gonna agree here. Yeah, this is I usually hear or read more of Sutra pieces, much more than this. But I thought this is very romantic. You know, there is that African mystery, as Bobby was saying in the beginning there. You know, the bleeding heart there. And then he comes on to describe the ruby lips and I see that he just is reminded again. This is really a powerful piece. It's sensual, but it's also very romantic at the same time. I think she did a wonderful job. It's a shame that she's not here tonight to read the poem.
Oh, well said. Thank you, Frank. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I agree. Me too, the opening stanza really got me. I found that it had a beautiful gentleness to it. You know, just admire the work of an artist, you know, the work of a poet that is so gently put down on paper. I think she echoed that in a loving way here. You know, passion does come into it, but I thought this was like a gentle romantic feeling to it. That I got out, just beautifully written, filled with emotion.
Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I have to agree with everybody. This is beautiful and romantic and delicately sensual. And I like how it's about enjoying the silence of being with a lover, someone you care about. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Thawa, I have your poem up. I'm going to play your SoundCloud.
Thank you. I lost the one. Have you, Achu Aya, have you planted a flower in her heart to whisper to her secretive love and the memory stays with her end of days? Have you, like her, smelled the scent of pure love with tears and joy? Have you followed the river and climbed the mountain? Have you looked in her eyes to find yourself in her light? Have you tried to rise at dawn to touch the dew of her heart? Have you, like her, sat alone between the shedding tears of the blue sky and the tender singing of a lost bird? Have you? As-tu planté une fleur dans son cœur pour lui chuchoter les secrets de l'amour, pour que la mémoire reste avec elle à la fin des jours? As-tu senti la senteur de l'amour pur avec de la douleur et de la joie? As-tu suivi la rivière, gravi la montagne? As-tu regardé dans ses yeux pour te retrouver dans sa lumière? As-tu essayé de te lever à l'aube pour toucher la rosée de son cœur? Es-tu assis seul comme elle entre le ciel bleu versant des larmes, l'oiseau amoureux qui chante sa belle chanson? A piantato un fiore nel suo cuore, susurrandomi i segreti dell'amore, quando la tua memoria rimanga con lei alla fine dei giorni. Ha sentito il profumo del puro amore, con dolore e gioia, ha seguito il fiume e ha scalato la montagna, l'ha guardata negli occhi per trovare nella sua luce, ha provato ad alzarti all'alba, per toccare la rugiada del suo cuore, hai con lei seduto da solo tra l'aspergimento di lacrime del cielo blu, il tenero canto di un uccellino innamorato. I end of poem.
Well, that was beautiful, SoundCloud. And, you know, the poem is touching. You know, it's delicate, it's heartfelt, it's expressive in the language of love. And I thought it was just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Leah?
Thanks so much, Greg.
Some of this was just absolutely gorgeous, with so much sentiment, so much feeling that, you know, that the heart is questioning and the mind is asking. You know, to me, this was like sometimes when we were younger, we would get a wild daisy and you would say, do you love me? Do you love me not? You know, and, you know, those are the things, you know, A woman blossoms in a man's arms when they're truly loved, and she will love them to her last breath. But the same token, will you love me in the same manner? You know, in every relationship, you know, there's tears and there's joy. But there's something when that flow, when it's beautiful and they hold your hand. And then there's something when you climb that rugged mountain where you fall and slip, and it's so difficult to go through something, to climb this peak. And you have that person still holding your hand. So, you know, this is something that, you know, that so many of us wish for in our lives, male or female. Mm-hmm. Beautiful someone.
Oh, so beautiful. Commenting. Thank you. I'm going to miss your commenting. Thank you. So beautiful.
Yeah, you're welcome, honey.
Great comments, Liz. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
This is absolutely beautiful. As always, you've done a wonderful read of it, of your poetry. I like that it asks those questions. Have you planted a flower in her heart? Have you looked in her eyes to find yourself in her light? I like the general message of, you know, search deeper, look deeper, because there is something beautiful within this woman, and she wants to share it with you. So wonderful, right, Salwa, and very well done.
Thank you so much.
Great comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm always impressed and fascinated by the way you are able to so delicately blend nature and romance. It's such a beautiful merging that you have when you write. To have you planted a flower in her heart. What a beautiful phrase. And have you followed the river and climbed the mountain? All metaphors for love and life. And have you tried to rise at dawn to touch the dew of her heart? Beautifully written, so delicate, so romantic, and so very almost. I would almost call it idyllic.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've run out of words or adjectives to say for what I think of Salwa's poems. You know, she has just a unique style of writing. She has a vision, you know, a poetry that is uniquely hers. You know, this is a very call of a piece. You know, there is that notion of love there and the purity of love, which we all wish we had experience in that. But I like the way she ends up her poem there with, have you, like her, sat alone between the shedding tears, you know, and she talks about the singing of a lover. That's just beautiful, man. You can contemplate that, just sitting there and watching that, and the visual imagery of that is even much more beautiful. So I think that Salwa has a wonderful vision of poetry. It is perhaps most likely that of what she experienced. But then again, it's the beautiful thing when you write poetry through what your own lens, what you feel, what you see.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Yeah.
Just a dreamer.
I'm a dreamer as well. Well, we're all dreamers.
Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is absolutely gorgeous, Salwa. You know, we all want a lover like this, one who would do all this for us, and, you know, and would it be interested enough in us to do that with us, you know? Have you, like her, set alone between the shedding tears of the blue sky and the tender singing of a lovebird? Have you? You know, have you done that? Have you done that? Have you tried to learn so much about her that you know her that well? You know, and all through, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful write. Wow.
Okay. Thank you. Coming from great poets like you are, Maria Pashirka, and humble. Thank you, everyone.
Well said. Thank you.
You're
okay, Frank, I've got your write up, and you have a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
All right. Thank you very much.
I see the tidal waves of your pain in the depth of the sea, just wanting for me to release it. Afterwards, then set you free. The wind resonates the echoes of the cries of your voice, O Daya, when your skin is covered in the heavy tent of a pale fire. Through the sunry storm, I awake to find you beyond the shore, wondering if I can fly above the drifting mist of clouds and soar, to heal suddenly your broken wings, my pretty wild dove, make you believe again in the fate of the power of love. When it seems that the unrelenting storm will never cease, I keep hoping that one day soon I can give you some peace, for I see the beauty of your smile in the reflection of the morning shine, casting your reddish image off the beach of the brine. I stare into a calm color of the gentle purity painted far away from the tears that will no longer be tainted by the umbra of your worries in fears that haunt you no more, piercing inside your heart, in soul at their core. With the moisture of the dew, I know where to find you, amidst the mermaids of blue, beyond the door, silver, grey hue. And you give yourself away, and you give yourself away, and you give, and you give yourself away to me. With or without you, I know where to find you. And you give yourself away, and you give yourself away, and you give, and you give yourself away to me. With or without you, I know where to find you. I know where to find you. Indipum.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Frank, and a very touching poem filled with, you know, love and passion and desire for someone inside, you know, their pain, their hurt, their miseries you wish to evaporate and release. I thought that was beautifully done.
That. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Sir.
Excellent read. Excellent read, Frank. Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought he did a beautiful poem to you two, With or Without Me. That's one of my favorite songs. I love that group. You know, you use the elements of nature to tie in to the emotions that you feel and that you can see in somebody else. See, it's one thing to say how you feel, but it's another thing to have the adaptability, the strength, the knowledge, the love, the kindness, to see into the other person and what they're feeling and to not hold that up against them. And what I love here about what you say is that that with love, make you believe again in the faith and the power of love, is that no matter what that person has gone through, you will lift them up in the air and get you be the wind to allow them to soar, and you will love them as they are now and as they will be. And as they will become beautiful, gorgeous lines and lyrics all throughout here, Frank. This is just absolutely stunning.
Gracias. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. That was a wonderful comment. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a lovely and romantic write, and I like where you took your inspiration from the song and the idea of wanting to bring out the best in somebody and give them a sense of peace and seeing that inner beauty of the soul. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Stefan.
And Sawa, what did you think?
Sorry, I was on mute. My apologies. I heard this before, and I hear it again. It's just very romantic, as always, Frank. It shows deeply that you want to be there for her and make her forget the sorrows. Very tender and very passionate imagery. I agree with Deluyo how you take nature and show emotion very deeply. Not only that, I like how you change it at the end. The song is one of my favorite songs. When you said, with or without you, I know where to find you. I just find this really great. I would be able to find you anywhere. I would be there for you. That's very beautiful.
Yes, thank you very much, Cecil. Appreciate
that. My pleasure.
Thank you, Sawa.
My pleasure.
And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
First off, it's a great song, and the choice of the song, the interpretation of it is just, I think, splendid. Really well done, your read on that particular song, and I loved your language in this, your vocabulary through the sonorous storm. I wait to find you beyond the shore. And you go on to here it is. I stare into a calm color of a gentle purity painted far away from the tears that will no longer be tainted by the umbra of your worries. The beautiful way of rather than shadow the umbra, which almost it has an artistic flavor to it. The whole song or the whole piece is so very romantic, passionate, passionate in a, I would say, in a very tender and loving way, not frenetic, but very gentle, but very strong. It's beautifully passionate and powerful piece.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Great comment.
And then a chocolate tonight.
Yeah, and Naomi?
Oh yeah, I agree. This is very powerful and passionate, like Bobby just said. I just love how you took the song and how how you followed the beat of the song, but so amazingly, wow, this is just amazing creativity here. I just love the use of color with the moisture of the dew. I know where to find you amidst the mermaids of blue beyond the dull silver gray who, you know, your flow and rhyme and everything about this is just amazing, Frank. It's absolutely beautiful, right?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
That was a wonderful comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, you're up next to read, Naomi, please.
Okay. This is called Small Awakenings. I remember small things. Small awakening, tiny moments that helped me discover who I was, realized I never quite lived inside myself before that summer when I first saw you, how my hands could touch the world around me, that when the breeze turned cool before a rainstorm, I could feel it. Because whenever I saw you, it always seemed to rain at least once. The sky cracking open with a rush of rain and lightning and sweet low rumble of thunder crackling through the hot clouds high above.
The holes in the road would fill with water, and the whole place would become a river. Yes, that summer I tasted the rain just to think of you. And I noticed how the warmth of the sun could caress my skin, because it made me remember your eyes. They were bright blue, like a summer day when the clouds skip along the sky, pushed by warm winds and shattered by sunlight. And this one hot, hot day, you took off running into a field of tall grass, your pale arms stretching above the wildflowers and underbrush, waving a gauzy net after the white butterflies that rode the sunbeams. And for the first time, I felt my smile touch my face and fill my cheekbones. What I learned from that summer of gazing at you across picnic tables is that you can love somebody without even knowing their name, and you can be changed by someone who never even touched you, and that you never know who out there may be sitting quietly daydreaming while writing poetry and
Well, beautiful read, and a fantastic poem, you know, of a journey of falling in love with somebody from a distance and them never knowing. There's such a beauty and yet a loneliness to that that, you know, really shines through the poem. And I thought you did an excellent poem. Excellent poem and an excellent read, Naomi. Lee, what did
you
think?
Thank you.
Oh, Naomi, you know, this is just so beautifully penned. And, you know, I could hear your emotions when you read this. I could just feel you dropping back into that moment of time. You know, I was looking at your author's notes where you said that my first young innocent love, a boy I saw at summer camp and just watched all summer, too shy to even talk to him. You know, sometimes I believe people, you know, they think, oh, it's just a crush. But sometimes for some of us, it goes deeper than a crush. It's not a something that is just so easily forgotten or, you know, just that we don't treasure it. This you treasured. You treasured this whole summer, these whole memories. And I really, really loved it where you said, and this one hot, hot day, you took off running into the field of tall grass, your pale arms stretching above the wildflowers, an underbrush waving a gauzy net after the white butterflies that rode the summer beams. And then when I heard your, you know, when I was looking at your reaction where you said, and for the first time I felt my smile touch my face and fill my cheekbones. You can, you know, that secret love that you keep and you always treasure. I love this poem, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you, Lou.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really thought this was beautiful. I thought that it had a, you know, a wonderful sentimental feel to it. It's relatable in that whole idea of that we all can look back and remember that time of innocence, that time of a young love, and perhaps, as you mentioned, that you're too shy to really say anything, but it's still an important memory and an important growing part of your life. And I really like how you ended with the quietly daydreaming and writing the poetry. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
The emotion that you put in the reading, honestly, I thought it just happened yesterday because it's so someone that you miss, that you wish that he noticed you, and it happened. But then even knowing that in the summer you brought this beautiful memory with so much, these things you don't forget. When someone marks you like this, you never forget it, that moment, that memory. And that's what you did here. You really took us back to this beautiful memory with nature, and you described not only your feeling, but the nature and how the rain kind of reminds you of him when you see the rain. That's so beautiful. It's true, there's always something that takes us back and reminds us of something, smell or whatever it is about someone special. Amazing. I really love it. So romantic. Passionate.
Thank you. Thank you, Salwa.
Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Salwa. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
First off, beautiful read. The emotion in your voice was palpable. This is obviously a very personal write. This is something that is close to your heart, and the way you described it with such reverence and tenderness and genuine affection, it just radiates from the entire piece. And it is also, as someone said earlier, extremely relatable because of those of us who feel can remember our first real heartfelt crush or involvement or love for someone. And you're right, you still have memories that never goes away. But you have written with such exquisite delicacy and feeling in this. It is just, I'm going to tuck this one away in my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you much.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Well, I think I said it all in the AM, so I was kind of really young in summer camp and when this happened. But yeah, does touch you because, you know, I still remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, so I've got the next write-up. It's by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud.
Thinking of Him by Martha Gettle. I have to face it every day, it's true. I'm still thinking of him when I should think of you. Still thinking of him in the wrong place. And sometimes he still brings a smile to my face. He walked away so very long ago, but my heart still can't let him go. Sometimes I still hang my head and cry as I recall the sadness in our last goodbye. He broke my heart long ago, it's true. Sometimes I think it's still broken too. You hold me close and whisper you love me, and I'm still fighting with his memory. You tell me you love me, your feelings are never hid. You make me feel good in ways he never did. I wish I could say I feel the very same, but I still feel my heart whisper his name. He broke my heart long ago, it's true, and sometimes I think it's still broken too. You hold me close and whisper you love me, and I'm still fighting with his memory. Past love still has a hold on me. I doubt it will ever really set me free. It breaks my heart, but it's true. I'm still thinking of him when I should think of you.
Well, beautiful singing. And this is a heart-wrenching poem, you know, where her heart is stuck in the past, but her life is in the now. You know, it's a very tragic and heart-wrenching thing to go through, I imagine. Beautiful, beautiful poem, excellent singing. And Louis, what did you think?
No, there it is. It's, you know, something that you would hear on country western music. I could actually hear this being sung. You know, this is, you know, I can't remember the name of the song, but I was just listening to it. It was from the 70s, where it says that, you know, he's kissing his wife, but he says he still sees the face of this other woman. And I just can't remember the name of the song. Of course, I remembered it 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I thought this was well penned, the emotions and everything that she put in here. Fantastic, Martha.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a beautiful and heartfelt song. It just has a strong emotional impact in that whole idea of living in the moment, but being trapped, your mind being trapped in the past, and that always focused on that love that was lost. So beautifully written and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I can relate to this song so, so much. Oh, my gracious. Because, you know, I really, really went through this. The last stanza, that past love still has a hold on me. But you're with somebody else, but you're still thinking of that other person. This is so relatable. Well, to me at least, and so well, wonderfully well written all through. Just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song by Martha here. Deep, profound.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
This is a really amazing piece. It's complex. She's talking about being with someone, but thinking of someone else, and the duplicity of it, and the complexity, and the angst she feels, or she feels like she ought to really love this person, but her heart won't let her because her heart wants what her heart wants. I'm really impressed with this piece. It's got layers to it that are really quite profound.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, did you get to comment on that poem?
Yeah, you asked me first.
Okay, just checking. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Marius Alexandru, and he has a sound card, so a lot.
I hear the music, magic all around. The little birds are singing in my dreams. Ah, how I miss this pleasant, joyful sound. I feel the freshness of the crystal streams. White snowdrops gently say, the spring is here. On puffy clouds, the sun so happy gleams. The rain has stopped, the sky is blue and clear. Pink tulips wake up early from the snow. Spring is indeed the best time of the year. The gardens miss the old romantic glow. Blue angels dance, the world in wonder spins. The winter cries, she's sad and has to go. She shows last time her irritated grins. The spring has won again, the spring begins.
Beautiful sound cloud, wonderfully read, and you know, this is image filled and dreamy in its presentation. I really like the rhyme and flow to it as well. Excellent job, Marius. Lee, what did you think?
Well, I really thought this was beautiful. I loved the music. I loved the poem. I even enjoyed so much the softness, and you know, like when, you know, spring doesn't just all of a sudden just like bam. You know, we can get winter like that. All of a sudden it's freezing the next day, but spring just doesn't all of a sudden come and just jump upon us. But the way he read it, just really put you in a dreamlike state. The imagery was gorgeous, where he says the garden smiths, the old romantic glow, blue angels dance, the world in wonder spins, and winter cries, so sad she has to go. And, you know, he just starts talking about, you know, how spring, you know, comes and opens and dances its way into, you know, each year. This was a beautiful poem by Marius.
Thank you, Bea. And Pam, what do you thought?
I think that this is beautifully written. And I like how it has that delicate idea of spring, as Lou was mentioning, delicately opening up. I really like that he brought in sound as well as imagery, with the whole idea of the romantic glow, the angels dancing, and the music of spring. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, he made springs, you know, like the regrowth of everything, and like a regrowth of love, too. You know, so romantic in that way, the regrowth of everything, the hope, the renewed hope, you know, of open, endless possibilities. I think he caught everything in this piece. Just wonderfully written, and a wonderful sound cloud, and just beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I got curious after the last poem that used this rhyming scheme, so I went hunting for it, and it's called a terza rima, and it's a rhyming scheme. It's ABA, B, C, B, C, D, C, etc. The line, the second line of each tercet, the rhyme for the following tercet, and thus supplying the verse with a common thread. I was fascinated by the other one. This one is equally as beautiful in the way it talks about the seasonal change. And I've always been impressed by Marius's verse. Simply because the English is a second language for him, and he has done such a wonderful, such a mastery of the nuances of the language that you can't help but be impressed by the man's writing. It's really quite remarkable.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I've got the next poem up, and it's called Unlucky Ducky by Lawrence, 67. Unlucky Ducky. And 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Mutual of Omaha's wild kingdom. Out here on the Serengeti, we see such tranquility and peacefulness as a little ducky is swimming in circles in the pond. Hey, ducky, ducky, ducky. How are you, little guy? When all of a sudden, splash, splash, oh, shit, the little ducky is fucky, as a 10-foot crocodile swallows him whole in one. Gulp. Good ducky. Ducky needs salt. Yes, the Serengeti is no place for no ducky, to be swimming around doing figure eights in the home of a 10-foot crocodile. I'm just saying. And that will do for this episode. Please come back next week when we will be following a family of baby boars as they try to navigate through the neighborhood of some sleeping hyenas. And now, stay tuned for your local news. Wow, that was I thought it was a wonderful narrative on the show of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Kingdom being spelled KINGDUMB. But, yeah, I remember how brutal those shows were. You know, he captured that brutality quite wonderfully in this poem. What did you think, Leah?
You have to have somebody. I'll be right back.
Okay. Pam, what did you think?
I enjoyed this. I thought you did a wonderful read of it, Gray. I like how he does it in the idea of a radio announcer you know, reporting on the adventures of this little rubber ducky on the Amazon and all the trouble that they get into. There's actually a family resource center here in my town that one of their fundraising events is they actually have a rubber ducky race, and you pay like a couple dollars to have a rubber ducky in the race, and you can have more than one. And then there's a big prize for the ducks that finish first. And it's just, it reminded me of that. And there's something so delightful and fun about rubber duckies. And I really like the humor in this. And especially like, yes, the Serengeti is no place for no ducky to be swimming around. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Naomi dropped, I think. Bobby, what did you think?
I haven't thought of Mutual of Omaha in years, and I haven't missed it. My dad used to really be love watching that, but this is quite an irreverent piece and a very on the dark side and quite just cynical in a very black humor sort of way. I was surprised that the last line where it says stay tuned for your local news, he didn't say stay tuned for your local snooze.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, are you back?
Yeah, that show used to traumatize me because, you know, you hear you watch the deer and then they're getting slaughtered by, of course you change the way you perceive things as you get older. Being eaten by cheetahs and the rabbits being chasing and ducks and birds and, you know, I used to say run. I'd be voting for the poor animal that was just being about to get eaten. But Bobby brought out the way that this black humor, the way that he did this now as an adult, now it's funny, but when I was a kid I didn't think it was funny though.
Yeah. Thank you, Lee. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I commented first.
Yeah, he has already.
Oh, I'm sorry. And all right. So, Lou, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one by Cool Meals.
Okay. Give me a second. Did you put it up? There it is. Okay, I got it. Nor'easter, my cool mills. They shake their heads in angry disbelief and struggle, groaning to maintain their stance. Their branches failing, lose every last leaf. The wailing wind embraces with its stance. Crack of thunder and a giant falls. Its horror captured in electric light. Gone are its dreams of decking festive halls and children pointing fingers in the light. As morning comes, they are entombed in ice, and the wind subsides at last. The sun is out. The frost sparkles. Having paid the price and sends best wishes to the spring's new sprout. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Lee. And this is, it's beautiful, but it's kind of a bit dark with its horror captured in electric light, as the giant falls from obviously a burst of lightning. And, gone are its dreams of decking festive halls as children pointing fingers in delight. I thought it was a beautiful piece. Well penned. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree, it is a beautiful piece and well penned. I like that this takes a look at the darker side of spring. You know, the spring storms with the heavy rains and the flashes of lightning and the thunder. And I like that it reminds us, because at the end where it says, the forest sparkles, having paid the price and sends best wishes to spring's new sprout, is there is destruction within this, but there's also that sense of hope that there will be new growth with the coming of spring. So beautifully written and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
Wonderfully descriptive. They shake their heads in angry disbelief, groaning to maintain their stance. It is a brevity, but it's a beautifully economical light and very expressive. It's horror captured in electric light. Like Pam said, it is a somewhat more somber and dark piece approaching the inclement weather of spring that we all tend to forget. And we romanticize with the thunder and lightning, but personally I kind of enjoy it. But thunderstorm.
Absolutely. And Lee, what did you think?
Great.
Hello, Lee. Yep, hi.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah, you know,
yes.
To me this was, it was just like when we're watching the Weather Channel and they're saying, you know, these spring storms are moving in, like Pam and Bobby were talking about. You know, it's very descriptive. At the same time, it's also, nature can be very scary because Mother Nature can just destroy us instantly. And what I liked about here was, you know, how, you know, she talks about how all the branches of the trees are trying to embrace. You know, you can literally see them trying to hold on, but, you know, with thunder and lightning and high winds, you know, it is impossible for anything to stand up to that type of the power of nature. And then, you know, of course, things get silent. And, you know, then shortly after, right before winter, or especially right after winter, we see things start to blossom again. The things that we had seen just, if, you know, a couple of months ago, now, you know, everything is starting, it's starting to slowly bloom and come back to life. So she gave that, you know, I liked how she gave, you know, even though these ancient trees can be knocked down, their seedlings and that they've left, they start to bloom, because that's the only way some of them grow.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Okay, Pam, would you mind reading the next one, please?
I'd be happy to. This is Don't Forget Me by Quiet Wolf, and it goes like this. Going through my day, my mind drifts to thoughts of you, our walk in the park, around the pond. Remember the swans that floated by, the lovers we were meant to be. Remember, it was autumn, crisp like early spring with winter holding court, our walk, summer heat. Waffles that morning, tacos for lunch, steak for dinner and dessert. Well, you know, remember? Those memories will never fade, even though you walked away like winter leaving that one last frost, a reminder that it will return. But you are gone, and our chance to get it right evaporated with your abandonment. End poem.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful poem, but with such a dark sadness to it. It paints this pretty picture of going through his day, his mind drifts to thoughts of you, our thoughts walking in the park, around the pond. Remember the swans that floated by, the lovers that we were meant to be. Remember? You know, just amazing imagery and emotions throughout this poem. What did you think, Lee?
You know, how many of us have not gone through this where we're with our lover and we're, you know, we go back to the place where we once were. And, you know, he starts talking about the things that he remembers, the sadness, the memories that are so graphic, where he talks about, you know, the swans, you know, and comparing them, we, you know, that they were supposed to be bonded forever. And then he says, he talks about the different months, you know, months were autumn, and then he starts talking about spring and winter and summer. And then he talks about how they spent their time, and he says that, you know, how are these memories ever going to fade, you know? It's like his heart has been in some way been frostbitten because he knows that she left him. And what now? What now? How does he handle that park where he lives? How does he handle the different seasons when they're so tied into the relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, do you? Bobby, what did you think?
Pretty much of what I agree with Lulu that I think it's human nature that we tend to associate people with events and places and songs, music, and things that mm-hmm. and fragrances and you when you're deep in a relationship that just basically evaporates. It doesn't do it without causing collateral damage. And the reminders are always going to be there. And this poem just evokes that feeling, that relatable feeling, so beautifully. Remember, those memories will never fade, even though you walked away like winter leaving that one last frost, a reminder that it will return, but you are gone and our chance to get it right evaporated. And that is just such a feeling of desperation to this piece and of regret. But it is so beautifully heartfelt right.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a beautiful and heartfelt write. It's got just sadness to it, and I like that it asks the questions and the, like, do you remember? Do you remember things as I remember them? And you know, the sense of loss is very strong in this one. And you know, I like that they pay attention to the little details, not only the weather and the lake and the swans, but what they ate that day. So beautifully written and very well done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. All right. Well, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows, Pam?
Well, let's see. 30 minutes after this show ends, we have After Midnight with Rex and Pam with poetry inspired by Oscar Wilde, that's it, yes. And of course, make sure to check out all the contests and topic boards put out by our late night poet hosts and hostesses, including myself, because you're sure to find something to inspire.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you ladies calling in tonight. Sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, ladies.
My pleasure. Buona notte, Doña Dolce.
Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Good night, everybody.